I'm Elizabeth Vargas, and we have a special guest with us today that we feel very honored she even wanted to come on the show. If you've ever watched Netflix's series Dirty John, you know who Tara Newell is. Hi, Tara.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm all right. Thank you for having me.
Well, thanks for coming. I don't think I've ever seen you in an interview before, really a one-on-one interview about your situation. I know that you have a podcast, correct?
Yes, I have Tara's Baddies Club.
Tara's Baddies Club, which is great. And I kind of wanted to start off today, and I normally don't do one-on-ones, but I thought with your situation and who you are and where you've come from, your strength and your ability to survive is uncanny. And I think that just sharing that survival with others on this show, because I have 96% all women, is vital. And I think that if, you know, during this interview, if we could talk about something that could help one woman maybe get through her situation as strong as you did, we've succeeded, right?
Yes.
So just the fact that you're here and you're going to share a little bit of your story, whatever you feel comfortable with is great with us. But I know that you did share a lot of your story with Netflix.
Well, bravo first.
Okay, so let me back up a little bit. To all that are watching, Tara is actually the real daughter in the Dirty John series. So the series was based around her life, correct?
Yes.
So tell me a little bit about, so this really happened to you here in Orange County. And what year did it happen?
It happened in 2016.
Okay. And in 2020, you became an advocate for survival advocate, correct?
More so in 2020, but when the series came out in 2019, that was when I really got a taste of how the story could really be pushed out there and help other people.
So how did the story come about? Did you or your mom pitch it to? First off, how's your mother doing?
She's doing great. She's married, or not married, thank God.
Oh, oh my gosh, she's married.
Not married again.
You have to pick the guy. Tell me you picked the guy.
No, but she's basically married to this guy. She's in a relationship with him. They live in Franklin, Tennessee, and he's really a great guy. He's a retired fire captain.
Okay.
And so good energy.
First responder.
Yes.
Oh, she likes that. Okay, yeah. Good. Good security, right?
Yes.
And how about you? Are you married or?
No? I'm okay. Single.
That's fine. Do you have any children or anything?
No, just dogs.
Okay. Because I noticed that you on one of your posts, you said you have a chi in Santa Monica.
Oh, chi partner.
Or chi child.
What is like chihuahua child?
Oh, I was like, what's a chi child? Is it someone that's like one with your chi and it's like some like a Boys and Girls Club thing? Okay,
no,
it's a dog.
No. Yeah, just like a dog with my ex-boyfriend. And so she goes there majority of the time and then comes to me like once a month.
So let's talk about a little bit about what happened. I don't want to really trigger the situation, but I want the audience to understand that you really went through what happened on the Netflix show Dirty John. And then we'll get into how it got to Netflix. But you really lived that with your mother.
Yes.
And you are the one that knew he was full of shit.
I knew he was full of shit, but my sister was more so the person that started to see it first out of everyone.
Okay.
Yes.
And then did that fateful day that you survived, and I get goosebumps thinking about it, that was here in Orange County.
Yes.
And you had never, obviously, you didn't wake up that morning and go, oh, I'm going to be stalked by a psycho, you know, wannabe murderer. You know, you literally just woke up thinking your day was going to be normal, right?
I thought I was going to go to the Jason Aldean concert. I had plans for that. However, I did know he was around.
Okay.
I knew that I needed to be in fear for my life.
Oh, really?
Yes.
So you were already at that stage?
Oh, yes.
Oh.
We went to the cops. We tried to get restraining orders against him. They came. I remember the cops coming one time to my apartment complex, and he told us we needed 3 harassment suits in order to have anything in regards to a restraining order. And then he basically laughed and he like giggled with us, basically flirting with us.
And the cop?
Yeah. And then he left. So we weren't taken seriously. And this guy had a rather large rap sheet on him. He stalked and harassed so many women.
He's a stalker.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, con artist, too.
Right. Con artist. Yeah. Completely con artist, manipulator, Yeah. So he had nothing to do with the hospital. He never worked for a hospital. That was all a lie.
He did. And I believe it was Michigan, somewhere in the Middle East, or not Middle East, Midwest.
That's right, you're nervous. It's fine.
So somewhere in the Midwest,
yeah.
He worked at a hospital. He actually stole drugs from that hospital. And then his wife, ex-wife, Tanya, she kind of was like working with the police, but someone kind of gave them the like, oh, he's like stealing drugs. And then they went to Tanya to get more information about it. And then when he was in the process of getting caught, he actually ran away from the cops. And then he fell down an elevator shaft with a cop.
So he was already a drug addict back then. And because he was a drug addict is why he was doing all of it, right? To feed his drug addiction.
I don't know if that was the issue. I say that he is a psychopath.
Okay.
And Dr.
Legally, probably.
Yes. Like Dr. Romney, Laura Richards, many experts have diagnosed him as a psychopath after everything that he has done. Wow. And so his brain is different and his brain isn't going to feel the emotions that normal people feel. And he's always going to want this chase or want to live on the edge in a sense, but have everything kind of calculated and planned and get somewhat of an enjoyment when you hurt people.
Wow. That's a real diagnosis.
Yes.
Oh, so your mother met him how? I forget. I watched the series a while ago, but he just, was it at a bar or something like that or a restaurant?
No, she met him on Our Time.
Oh, that's right, on a website.
Yes, on a dating website. And then they met at Houston's in Irvine.
Wow. And then he wooed her. And saw a target because she was very, is she very soft-spoken, right? Isn't she or no?
She is, you know.
The show really depicts her as kind of a timid, okay. But I can't, you know, if to build a business like she did, I can't see a woman being that timid that has a business like your mom. She is a true interior designer, right? Or
yes. Well, and then Connie, when she met my mom at like the Ivy and we were having lunch. It was just good vibes. And so my mom's going to be sweet, soft-spoken. She's not going to yell at Connie Britton.
Right.
At lunch.
Oh, so she took that as this is her personality.
Yeah. And I say my mom is definitely very dynamic. And we all have a range of emotions. And that was just one of her emotions being displayed on the television. And I think it leans into the appeasing side of women and how you can kind of get locked into these relationships as well is that, okay, you want to appease to that man. And you kind of need that yin and yang in a sense where it's like, the empath is drawn to the narcissist or like the psychopath or sociopath.
Right. And your mother married him, right?
Yes.
That was real.
Yes.
I mean, to this day, that story haunts me because I can see that happening to so many women. Do you know? So, your mom's doing okay?
Yeah. Lots of therapy.
Lots of therapy. And are you in therapy or?
Yes, I'm going to forever be in therapy. Okay. It's just a consistent thing because my trauma is different.
Right.
And my trauma is also linked to her in a way because she was my mother. She's supposed to be my protector as me being her child. And so my trauma is kind of correlated in that sense to her.
Right.
And it's nothing she did per se, but because he was with her, it just is all correlated that way.
Well, it seems like your story happens all too often, but yours was a happy ending in a weird way. Obviously, it's not a happy ending, but that day, and I'm just wondering, because if you lived in fear up until that day, did you have a sense of relief, or were you, I mean, how did, what were you thinking that day after it happened? I mean, your mind must have been blown that that actually happened. I can't see the shock factor for you personally. I mean, the fact that you're sitting here and you look great, you sound great, you're giving back, you have a podcast, you're an advocate, a victim's advocate, you help others, you raise, you know, you raised money and baskets for people of the fire. You also have a charity that has an auction that you raise baskets to give to help other people.
Well, I partner with those people.
But you have a lot, you know, you love animals. You have a lot that you do that gives back. Did you always do that? Or is that because of what you went through? You've learned to cope with this trauma through that? Or have you always just been a giving soul?
I say it's a mixture.
Okay.
I've always... Growing up, I grew up in the church, and I would always go to mission trips. I would go to Mexico, go help out with the orphans there.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, so were you guys really religious growing up?
Yes.
Oh, so your mom was part of that. Like, okay, so that's probably why she just sort of listened and didn't realize she was being taken advantage of.
Part of the issue is, you know, growing up in that church and how it was very fundamentalist.
Okay.
And so she grew up in the Church of Nazarene. So it's women wear dresses. You know, you can't do this, you can't do that. You need a husband all the time.
Oh, and what state was this in?
This was in California.
Really? Okay. Yeah. Okay.
Garden Grove.
What?
Yes.
That happens here?
Yeah, it happens everywhere.
What? I didn't even know that still happened. No, you're enlightening me. I'm so curious about this.
Oh, yeah. It's a lot of like First Baptist church, but not all of them are that way. But you go to places and you have to really kind of see what the values are.
Okay.
And it's kind of like a Mormon cult in a sense.
Yeah. So do you feel like you survived both the church and the guy? Do you feel like you're just sort of a great survivor? I mean, that seems like an awful lot because, I mean...
I guess I never thought about me surviving the church in a sense until all those documentaries came out about... I had a friend, Rachel Peach, she was in one. I'm drawing a blank on it right now. But she was molested by her church pastor.
Okay.
And she spoke out about it. And the church supported him.
Oh, of course they did.
Yes.
Yeah.
And then
if you ever plead guilty, there's going to be a lot more victims coming forward.
Oh, yeah.
So if they plead not guilty and they support him, they're going to scare the other victims.
Oh, yeah.
That's their tactic.
And then there was so many victims.
Yeah.
And she came out forward because it aligned with... the Statue of Limitations.
Okay.
And so she kind of helped this other girl out in her case. And so they were able to convict him.
So tell me about your podcast. And I know that you have Tara's Baddie Club. What's the Instagram handle? At Tara, TerasBaddy Club, right?
Yes.
Okay.
It's like the baddie spell a little different so that I can have a little bit...
Differentiate.
Yeah.
Okay. So obviously everyone knows your... Well, I say everyone knows your story because I love watching, you know, that true crime. But it's not really... I stopped really watching it a lot because it puts my mindset in a different way. Because watching other people's trauma triggers me too.
Yeah.
And I just kind of, I can't really watch a lot of it, but I know a lot of women could eat a bucket of popcorn, watch a murder mystery and tell their boyfriend to go make them some soup.
Oh yeah. It's you know? Crazy.
So you kind of stayed in the true crime sort of life by being an advocate, but also it's, you said something, I read that you're an advocate for ethical true crime podcasts, productions, and reporting. Explain what that is.
So in the real to TV, the real to film, there's a lot of people that have their stories taken and just monetized from. They don't have any say in their story being monetized. It happens in even reality TV where...
Take it out of context.
Yeah. And so what I try to do is I try to teach people that these are real people's stories that are out there. Say the Jeffrey Dahmer series. That was
being... Oh, that was crazy.
Oh, yeah. But there was my friend Rita Isabel. Her brother Earl Lindsay was unalived by Jeffrey Dahmer. And one day she sees it come on the television and she's just like, what? Why is my brother's story being told? And so she goes and she speaks out to a few news outlets. I kind of back her up in a sense. And no one wants to talk to her. And
they didn't give permission. They didn't give consent.
No. And it's crazy because they use her exact court footage that's from the trial. And she's the one saying, like, I want to kill Jeffrey Dahmer. Like, you want to see what crazy is, or like unhinge or whatever. This is what unhinges and stuff. And they use that exact footage. And because it's public information, they're able to use that no problem and not like let her know when the show's coming out. So when the show came out, she started to get harassed by everyone in her neighborhood. And then just random people hitting her up online being like, I'm Jeffrey Dahmer, I'm going to come murder you.
What happened? How did she, is she, did she get any rights?
No. No. And I've tried contacting Ryan Murphy's production offices, and he's a hard one to get a hold of, but, you know, he's paid to produce this content. He has a deal with Netflix.
And clickbait.
Yeah.
You need the drama. I understand where they're coming from, but that's horrific to have to go through.
Yeah.
And so you advocate for these people on these shows. And is it just these shows or just anybody?
These shows, I also help people produce podcasts out there.
Explain this now. So you also teach people how to produce true crime podcasts.
Yes.
Okay, explain this. That's kind of cool in a weird.
Thank you.
I was like, well, I mean, a lot of people love Orange County Housewives and true crime. It's like they go hand in hand. I'm like right up there with true crime. So what do you do for that? How do you teach them how to produce a podcast?
So
what can they go to learn?
Okay, so I have it on my website, Tara Newell Survival.
Tara Newell Survival.com. Tara Newell Survival.com. Okay,
yes.
Got it.
And they could go there or go to my Instagram. There's always a link tree there. And I have the course for 8 weeks. I do lives every once in a while and do like 8 weeks of lives so that I can have interaction and also have what's current out there, because the podcast world is ever changing. Survivors are ever changing.
Yeah.
And so it's important to put it all out there. And I literally teach people how to work with audio, to get guests, how to be supportive and trauma informed with their guests, how to make sure that you're not re-triggering them. And whenever you go through a story, you're always going to re-trigger them, but it's within the follow-up. It's within making sure that this person felt comfortable on your show, you know?
Yeah. Well, I mean, in, you know, us doing this show today, I am very aware that you've spent years dealing with your trauma and working on yourself. And obviously you're aware of your trauma and you're aware of your PTSD and your triggers. So for you to be on a podcast like this or a show like this and open up, I am obviously sensitive to that because I want to share your story, but I don't want to harm you in any way. And I know that I had a situation where I had a guy who's in prison. I didn't murder him or anything, but he's in prison. And I get triggered because people wanted me to do a Netflix series on it. And I had another woman. Who's the guy that was the cannibal guy?
Oh, Armie Hammer.
Armie Hammer. His wife called me and wanted me to do I think it was Netflix.
Okay. Elizabeth Hurley.
Yeah.
Okay.
With her for my situation. And I said, look, I can't live with dealing with that every day. So my triggering points are, I don't do trauma like interviews or anything like that because I don't want to be triggered. But in this situation, it's more or less where I see you as less of a victim and more of a survivor. And I think that's really important. And I wanted you on today because I think as people, when you are victimized and it's not your fault, you don't even know how come it happened to you. It's really important to understand how to survive afterwards, because surviving it is one story.
Yeah.
Surviving afterwards without becoming a drug addict, alcoholic, you know, I mean, you could go one or the other way. You could go completely downhill, but you didn't. You chose to get therapy. You chose to help others. You chose to really reach out. So tell me about your animal, your love for animals, and what is going on here? So what do you do for animals? Because everyone keeps telling me you're a huge animal advocate.
So when I was actually stabbed, I was working as a dog groomer.
Oh, okay.
Yes. And I worked as a kennel attendant as well at this place called, wow, now I can't even remember the name of it. It's been so long. But it was in Newport Beach and a nice little facility that boarded animals or dogs, not animals, only dogs.
Yeah.
And I worked there for some time. I probably worked with animals since I was 10 years old, just always being that girl that'd be like, I'm going to walk your dogs. Here's my card and stuff. And now I foster a lot.
Okay, because you did a stream, a live stream, I don't know if it was live or whatever, about the Pasadena Animal Shelter for the fires.
Okay.
And you said they need foster families or something, that you were going to try and do something with fostering.
Okay, so I was also watching dogs. So
okay.
I told them I could take in dogs, but then it didn't work out. And okay. Probably for a good reason, just for me to like also have some time before getting into watching dogs and like being uprooted from my safe place and stuff.
Right.
So I was trying to get people to foster, but luckily the place that I normally work with, they had like a few people that needed help and then they were just figured out right away. However, I do try to get donations every once in a while.
Okay.
And that's for Barkin' Bitches.
Oh, cool. Bark and Bitches?
Yes.
Oh, cool. Is it Instagram? Is it on Instagram?
Yes.
Bark and Bitches. Uh-huh. Is it at Bark? Okay.
Yeah. And so I like foster for them sometimes and then like get them like little donations, like create an Amazon list.
Yeah.
We'll send it to my house.
That's and great.
Drop it off. Thank you. And then I did bags for survivors. And
these are nice bags, by the way.
Oh, thank you.
Where do you get all the stuff that goes in them?
Oh, all the people donated.
Just don't.
From Instagram.
What? Because I went down your Instagram. I'm like, these are nice skin products and like a hair strengthening bag. And I'm like, all these great bags. I'm like, and it says like value of $1,200 and auction or bid today. Where do people bid or how does this work?
Oh, okay. So that was
a different bag.
I do a lot of
different things. I'm like, oh, that's a different bag. Okay. Yes. Okay.
So I actually did that charity event for the first one was for When Georgia Smiled. And then the other one was for Red Songbird Foundation.
Okay.
And my friend, Jason Waller, Lacey, our mutual friend, Lacey, works for them.
Love Lacey.
Yes.
How's she doing?
She's
good.
She's doing well. Her daughter just turned like 3 yesterday.
Yeah. 3. God, we're getting. Yes. So we're like aging gracefully like a fine ball of wine. Her daughter's already 3?
I think so, if I'm not mistaken, yeah.
Okay.
And I am terrible about keeping up with people.
It's fine.
It's just.
So you have these different charities that you work with and you know, you have this love for animals. But I want to get back to a question that I have that I know a lot of people have is, how did your story get to Netflix? Who sold it to them? How did it happen? And who even knew about it? Like, did they approach you? Was it what happened?
So there's lots of people in law enforcement that like to talk to the LA Times, talk to different reporters. And I believe that someone was talking to Christopher Gofford from the LA Times, and they told him about the story. I also think it was also Hannah Fry that wrote an article that mentioned it to him as well. And so he caught light of the story, contacted my mom, and then I was in Austin during the time. She contacted me and she asked me, do you want to share your story? The LA Times contacted us. And I was very into church at that time. And I just kind of went and prayed a lot.
Yeah.
And I just felt like it would have been something that would help people.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I could see that. You know, you're like, hey, I guess this would be a chance for me to give back. Sort of, I guess.
Well, like, just help other women see the red flags. And so we ended up sharing our story. I came to hear from Austin and met up with him a few times. Then we told the story probably like 4 times to him, did so many interviews. And then at one point, they told us probably about a week beforehand that it was going to be turned into a podcast.
Okay.
Yes. And I actually found out recently that it was going to be turned into a podcast no matter what. And they were selling it. And yes, this person, Jane Marie, she got light of the podcast and they were trying to have her produce it at one point, but she turned it down because she wanted it more woman focused and more about generational trauma opposed to about this like dirty, scummy guy.
Yeah.
And so found that out recently and they made the podcast, put it out there. It was a huge hit. It has over 170 million listens now.
170 million?
Yes. And so it gained a lot of attention.
Wonder how many con artists listen to it. You're like, okay, if this guy can get away with it. It's like,
well, there has been some people that I don't know if they listened to it, got ideas from it or whatnot.
However, copycats.
Yeah, but there's been even quote-unquote survivors that have taken bits and pieces of my story and tried to use it for their own. And like, yeah, and a few big podcasters will have them on and it like not know that their stories are kind of fabricated in a sense.
Right. Yours is definitely not fabricated.
No.
But your story was one of truly that day. Now, did he bring the knife or did he brought the knife, right?
Yes, he brought over 11 knives.
11 knives that day? Oh, you're making me skin crawl. I didn't know that. They didn't say that on there. Were they in his trunk?
Yes. He was trying.
Oh my God, you're getting like, was he trying to cut you up and like hide you? What was he going to do?
I don't know.
Like, was there a saw?
Okay, so he had one knife in the Del Taco bag that he stabbed me with. And then he was trying to push me over to the trunk. And that's where there was 11 knives or something like that.
So he was trying to get you closer to more of his tools, his knives. Was the trunk open or closed?
It was open.
So he only had one knife on him in the bag. And then he tried to get you next to all the rest of his knives.
I guess so,
But that's, you got him right next to the car, right?
So he grabbed me by the waist, by the license plate, and then that's where he grabbed me. Yes.
Girl, did your just inner lioness come out and just know what you had to do? Because not a lot of women would have survived that.
I watched a lot of Walking Dead.
Okay, so somebody told me you watched zombie movies. I'm like, she did what?
That is accurate. I am obsessed. Well, not obsessed like where I watch it every single day, but when The Walking Dead was on, I would probably watch it 3 times that night. And then The Talking Dead too.
So what, did they stab in the face with The Walking Dead or what?
Yeah, you have to kill the brain.
So that's how you... So it is a true story. You did watch The Walking Dead.
Oh, thank you, God, for The Walking Dead.
And then Dexter also.
Yeah, one of my favorites is Dexter.
Really?
Okay, I love Dexter. Okay. I don't know why. I'm obsessed.
So you remember Hannah McKay?
Yeah, of course.
Okay, so how she had the cut on her hand?
Yeah.
I was like, you have to hold it
tight. Yeah, or else you're going to get mm-hmm. cut in your own hand.
Mm-hmm. So,
did you hear that, ladies? Make sure you hold it tight on this.
Don't hurt yourself.
Don't hurt yourself.
Yes.
Unless it's self-defense, then the blood, if it drips, it's okay. Yes. If it's not self-defense, don't leave your blood behind. Yes.
And I bet you there's going to be a few people out there that are going to make fun of me for even laughing about this right now.
It's not funny. Actually, I think you do what I do with trauma is you laugh.
Yeah.
And it's a defense mechanism.
Yes.
People get on me all the time for laughing. They go, oh, she laughs too much. And really... laughing is my defense to a serious situation.
Yes.
So people that make fun of you for laughing, they don't understand real trauma.
Right. Well, yeah. And it's also part of the appeasement mode where you're laughing, you're making yourself like, oh, yeah. Like I'm fun, I'm giggly, don't attack me.
Well, yeah, that's, and also, yeah, you play that role.
Yeah.
And laughter is something that I've learned is a coping mechanism.
Yeah.
And when I try and be serious, it's uncomfortable for me because I want to sidetrack the uncomfortableness with laughter.
Yeah.
Because I'd rather hear laughter than quiet uncomfortableness. So if anyone laughs at you today, then, you know, it is whatever. They obviously, here we are, like,
well, just whenever things go up on YouTube, I'm talking about my trauma and laugh about it, there's at least like 50 comments that pop up and be like, oh my gosh, she's a psychopath. And I'm like, have a great day.
Yeah, kill them with kindness. You're like, you're welcome. So that day, so then you ended up getting him, okay, that which was, because I remember it, but I couldn't get myself to rewatch it. It actually is a pretty traumatic show. And knowing you are a real person, I'm just... in shock and awe that you had to go through that. How is your mother and your relationship after this? I mean, have you forgiven her for dating him, or what was it like?
I definitely...
Do you blame her? Do you...
At one point, I did.
Yeah.
I had to go through the motions. I had to go through a lot of therapy. I had to call her and yell at her more than a few times.
Yeah. Wake up!
Well, and then mothers and daughters, they fight in general.
Yes.
So this is just like 10 times amplified.
Right.
And I think that it's able to make us closer because I've been in a lot of terrible relationships too, and I've always loved the toxic guys.
Yeah.
And
I would think they'd be scared of you. I mean, it's like, they'd be like, she knows how to, sure, shit's good.
Not like, there's been some narcissists, psychopaths, and they literally hear my story and they're like, oh, she's a badass. Like, oh, this and that. Oh, it's like they amp me up.
Okay.
And then they try to turn my story around to, oh, I dated someone like this. And then
you weren't even dating. It wasn't your man. You were a victim of your mom's man.
Yeah, but they just like to be like, oh, I dated someone like this. Like there was this guy.
I see.
That dated my friend and he was a complete narcissist, and he would repost my story all the time just so his ex-wife could like have a visceral reaction from it. And then it's crazy because I actually connected with his wife later because I gave her a cat.
Oh, you rehomed the cat?
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Well,
here, get rid of your husband. Here's a cat.
Well, this person found a cat in the street, and then they were like, oh, I need someone to help rehome it. So I took it, and then I rehomed it to her. And then I found out about everything that he was doing to her. And I'm like, it all aligns.
Yeah.
And so these characters like to amp me up in this way.
So they kind of, they
They're not scared of me.
They're not scared. they feed off of that past trauma that you went through this. And I'm, So you're more, it's also, you've got a celebrity about you. So you are a celebrity because everyone knows the story and you're the real deal. So, you know, a lot of times when they say a movie's, you know, they say, oh, based on a real true story, you don't really get to meet their true person. So I'm like sitting here with you right now. And that was like the show. Like I watched it and I'm like, and when Peyton's like, she'll come on. I'm like, wait, the real Dirty John daughter, Tara? I'm like, no way. But, you know, I think that true crime, crime, first off, what we just went through with the sex trafficking and the abuse of children and women, and there was a huge movement last year. And, you know, we had the women's movement, right? Now we're having sort of the children's movement. A lot of kidnapped children, a lot of displaced children, a lot of all that stuff, right? And your show had come out previous to that. But it's all kind of the same thing. It's all abuse-centered, abuse-oriented. That was never, you weren't never able to talk about it. You were shunned. You were like, that's bad TV. Shut up. It's like, now I think that it's safe to talk about stuff like that to where you can help other people be aware of red flags, right?
Yes.
Because if we don't have anywhere we could go and learn about red flags or anybody we could talk to, like your Instagram's open. Anybody could go to Tara's Baddie Club, at Tara's Baddie Club.
Yes.
And talk to you. And I mean, it's the coolest thing ever. Before, you know, the resources weren't there. TV shows couldn't talk about this. You couldn't talk about missing children. You couldn't talk about women that almost got murdered and, you know, that unalived somebody else, you know, because of it.
Yeah.
And it wasn't a bad thing. It's a survival technique. It's okay to protect yourself. So you have a website, obviously.
Yes.
And what is that again?
TaraNewellSurvival.com.
And so TaraNewellSurvival.com. So can you also, so when you give someone, you said you have courses. Can you tell us about what the courses entail?
Yes. So it's a series of 8 weeks for the podcasting course.
And podcasting course, is that people that have been a victim and that want to start their own podcast to?
All of the above.
Okay.
If you're into true crime.
Okay.
If you want to have a more so trauma-based podcast even, very helpful for that. And one of the great things too is I connect you with a lot of great players in the podcasting world, like Moms and Mysteries were on the other day, or Mama and Mysteries, and Generation Y, the Betrayal Podcast, my friend Jennifer Faison, my friend Melissa Moore.
You got a good network.
Yeah, I have so many great friends. So you get all of that knowledge. And then also what is not funny, but it's great that I have this trauma-based coaching as well, because the last time I had a client that got really triggered in her trauma.
Okay.
And I said, hey, here is a free week of moving past trauma. Try this out. I hope it helps. And then she bought the whole thing because it really helped her to have an outlet to work through her trauma as well while doing this course too.
So the course gives people an outline, and you base that upon, obviously you're knowledgeable and you've had therapy, so you know how to get past your triggers and trauma. So you then took that knowledge and outlined it and said, let me give it to other people to help them understand. That's great. And when did you start that?
I started it almost a year and a half ago, or a year and a couple months ago. And it was because there is so many people that start true crime podcasts daily, and they're like, I don't know where to start. So
there's a lot of them out
there. Right?
Yeah. But you come from a true crime background. New crime, but you know that.
Well, and then
you know what you're doing.
Book people for podcasts too. I'm known as the master connector in that realm.
Great.
And also,
like, everybody watching, if you want to start a true crime podcast, she's your woman. She may laugh about it, but she goes down to business.
Yes. And even how to monetize, and, you know, talking about YouTube, even TikTok, the algorithms, and teaching how to actually like grow your podcast and
activate it to society where it generates those leads and those people. Okay.
Like I had one client that charted when she took the first podcasting course, When Heaven Meets Hell, and she charted right off the bat. And I was like, okay, she did exactly what I said.
Yeah. I really, you know, Tara, I just feel blessed that you're on here. I know you have you have so much to offer so many people. I don't want to give away all your secrets on my little show here. But I'm going to put it on, we're going to do some editing on it. We're going to do some overlays and everything and, you know, show everybody where they can go. And if you get stalkers from my show, I'm sorry. Just ignore them. But so tell me, we still have a little bit of time. Now, your love, I want to go back to the love for animals. What do you think, and this is going to be a little bit off the wall.
Okay.
So, on your day-to-day, do you live in fear anymore or no? Do you live pretty open or? I'm just curious. Do you?
It really varies.
Okay.
I feel triggered by some men.
Okay.
And then other men, I just want to push them sometimes. I was triggered in yoga because this guy kept touching me yesterday. And so my reaction is I want to go into fight mode.
Okay.
Because of how I was able to survive.
Right.
And so I'm working through.
You want to grab his arm and break it? You're like, stop touching me.
When I'm working through processing, like, okay, he touched me. It's not a threat to me. Like I have to go through the fight or flight and process that and get my body back to homeostasis in order to not feel that way. So it's more so I get triggered.
Got it.
And I don't live in fear because that was an isolated incident and it was him coming after me.
Right. He was your attacker.
Yes. Where if there may be people online that I had like one person that was a semi-stalker, but once me and my ex broke up, she kind of dissipated.
Yeah.
So it just, because he has a platform too, so women got obsessed with him.
Yeah.
And then they would come to me too. And YouTube is the place to gain them.
We know this. I literally don't even, I don't read comments. I don't go on. I mean, because Housewife fans are just trolls. Not all of them, but most of them. And I mean, if I read every negative comment and every psychopath that wanted to put me down, I would be under a rock over there.
Oh my
so
God.
Like you, I'm sure you learned to grow a thick skin and be like, oh, whatever, you know, like, and you know, so I'm glad you don't live in fear because yours was an isolated situation. And obviously, hon, you did take care of it. And I laugh about it now, but you did. You know, I took care of my situation mine took care of itself. I really didn't mean for it to take care. Just God willing, took care of itself. But, you know, I think that a lot of women, will want to go to you and will want to know what are the red flags, because a lot of women do get in relationships like your mom and don't know.
Yeah.
They don't see them because, like, for instance, I work a lot and I'm like, where am I going to meet somebody? I'm like a woman where guys look at me and they're like, I can never afford her and I never want to. So then I never get hit on. I never get talked to. I never get nothing. And it's not like I'm not, you know. So I can see how, like, your mom, she worked a lot. She was successful. Like, where do you meet men? So you find a little charmer.
Yeah.
You know, like, and you get smitten and then they just take advantage of you.
Yeah.
And I think it probably happens a lot because there's a lot of more successful women these days and a lot more scammer men. So, you know, what are the red flags? You know, and you as the daughter, I think, are able to give women advice on the red flags, right? Because you saw those red flags on your mother, right?
Oh, yes.
So did you see them early or?
Oh, yeah. I didn't like him at all.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, the show depicted, but coming from you, you never liked him then.
No. And I am the person that normally gets along with her boyfriends. I normally get along with any type of personality.
Yeah.
And I did not like him.
The vibe was not there.
Well, he didn't want to engage with me. He didn't want to look me in the eyes. He didn't really want to give me any answers.
Yeah.
And he seemed like he was already at home.
Oh, no, he was literally moving in. Like, yeah. I'm scamming this woman and you're not getting in my way, you mother.
Yeah.
That's his attitude, I bet.
Oh, yeah. And I was accused of snooping. I wasn't snooping. I was just being a daughter going into my mom's room, grabbing a Q-tip. And then I was staying in the room where there was a box of his stuff.
Yeah.
So,
and that's when you found the jail stuff, right?
Yeah.
Was he in probation or something? Or?
Oh, no. I didn't find that then. I found a nursing certificate. And in my eyes, I don't know the medical field. So okay. I'm thinking, oh, it's just a nursing certificate. He has that on top of him being an anesthesiologist.
Oh, you didn't realize it was just full of it.
Yeah. And so I wasn't thinking anything, but he was thinking, oh, my gosh, she found my stuff. So he was also defensive.
Yeah.
But so charming to whoever he wanted to be.
Oh, yeah. Narcissists are super. Narcissistic psychopaths are charming as heck.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And then also, there was parts of his story that didn't really add up at times.
Yeah.
And then he just had an answer for everything. He liked this kind of like status, this symbol of status.
Yeah.
Where he had to look and be someone important. And that's like a huge thing about narcissists is they have to have this like importance.
Right.
Or like they're the only one that can feel this way.
Right.
And then another thing narcissists do is they just bring it all back to you where they do the Darvo. And they deny, attack, and
wait, isn't that gaslighting?
And deny your reality.
That's the new trending word. You're a gaslighter. You're a gaslighter. No, you're a gaslighter.
Although I feel like those words can be overused.
Yeah, I agree. Well, you know, I think in general, Tara, you have a great story. I hope we didn't trigger you too much today. I want everyone to go to your website. I want everyone to go to your Instagram. I want women who need help or don't know signs to just listen to your true story. If they have gone through trauma, to do what you're doing. You have a great aura. You have a great sense about you. You're a survivor. You're strong. And are you going to be going on like a tour or something? Or is there going to be more interviews or what's going on here?
I'm in contract with something.
Oh, okay.
So I can't talk about it until it comes out in an article, maybe.
Okay.
And then from there, it's
going to snowball into something else. Well, I think you're doing a fabulous job. Just helping other women and being supportive, being a nice support system, I'm sure, for your family, obviously. You're like, let me just stop this right in here at the nuts or, you know, whatever. And we're thrilled to have you on today. I have a little gift for you just from my heart. And I know that Peyton and Anna and Luke and myself, just a little love.
It's
just a little something in there.
There's some, oh my God.
Yeah,
do I just open it right now?
It's just a little love that I figured you could use and, you know.
Oh my God.
It was just something this little for you. Just
one time I was crystal. On the Skinny Confidential podcast and there was a lot of Dior bags and then she was like, oh, it's my friend's birthday. I was like, okay. I And so this is just like a nice surprise.
Oh, okay. Well, it's just something that if it's just it's a little Tiffany crystal, it's good energy. No, the other, it's a whole thing.
Okay.
It's a piece where you have anything special that you like to sleep with at night that keeps you calm, you just put it in there. It's a little Tiffany crystal.
Oh my gosh. This is so sweet.
Isn't that cute? It's a love, a little heart.
Yes. Oh my God.
There you go. Cute, huh?
I love it. Thank you.
Well, I just want to give you something, a little love, because you're so special. And I can't thank you enough for being on the show today.
Thank you.
I just, you know, I want everybody to go to, what is it called? Tara's Baddie Club?
Tara's Baddies Club.
Can you spell that out?
TerraBaddyClub.
And if you have any questions, comments, or concerns, or if you feel like you're being threatened, or if you feel like you have any, you feel like that you're being threatened in any way, obviously call 911. But is there another resource that you always send women to?
I always tell them call the domestic hotline number.
Domestic hotline. And now when people say that, is there one domestic hotline, or is it a national thing, or is it in your area?
It's for the United States that I'm aware of, and they can provide a list of resources, a list of places to go to. So they're going to know all the local shelters in your area.
Yeah. So please call the domestic hotline if you feel threatened right now. If you're watching this and you need some help and you don't want to reach out to anybody, reach out to Tara. She's here for you guys. Tara, thank you so much for being on today.
Thank you.
I love you, man. Give me a hug.
You're wonderful.
So thanks for coming. No, well, thank you for coming. It was so special today and hearing your story. I'm sure we've helped somebody. And if we haven't helped somebody right when they're watching it, we will help somebody because this will be online forever. So thank you for watching this Spotlight by Girl Talk. I'm Elizabeth Vargas, your host, with Tara Newell. Thanks for coming, honey.
Thanks.
Until next time.